Certainly grateful to be here. I appreciate the good preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Kind of reminded me of the Apostle Peter when he began to sink.
Yeah.
He began to sink after walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
He began to sink doing what the Lord bid him do. He began to sink, and others did not notice it.
Yeah. Right.
When he began to sink, the Savior was close by.
Yeah, man.
And he walked on the water again.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
The Lord didn't carry him.
Yeah.
He walked on the water back to the
yes.
boat. And that's what it reminded me of. But I'm grateful for the good preaching of God's
Amen.
Word. I believe we're living in a great days of opportunity. Although there is a lot of opposition,
yes.
there's so much ministerial fabrications.
Yep.
I heard early on as a young Christian, I heard men say, you don't have to have a call. God's already given you a command. But I read my Bible, and the Bible said, now they were in the church. They wasn't at the civic center. Now they were in the church. And he names those five names. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
Amen.
I believe there has to be a call.
Yes,
amen. And by the way, God does not change his mind. There's folks who disqualify themselves from ministry.
Right.
And that saddens our heart.
Sure.
There's some that are pressing on, and there's a great group of people today that are embracing men that are not qualified.
Right.
But I still believe this. I believe this book. And
yeah,
God has qualifications for pastors and for deacons. I'm interested tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And just a thought, this is a meeting that emphasizes missions. And I want to commend this church for your faithfulness to the Lord. Thank you for your help in our ministry. We're grateful for that. The Lord has privileged us to be able to preach six or eight mission conferences a year. Just finished up one down in Philadelphia, Tennessee, and had a good conference. The pastor was encouraged by the increase. And we're praying this. We're praying that God will speak to every heart about what he wants you to do. And I was reminded again that when Hannah asked for a child, and she promised the Lord, and said, if you give me the child, I'll give him back. And so she did, and then she went to visit on a yearly basis, annual basis, and brought him a little coat.
Yep.
But it wasn't the same size every year.
No.
And there's some folks that are still trying to put that little coat on him. And we're asking God to do what? Asking God to speak to our hearts personally.
Yeah,
I was just finished a meeting not many days ago. And there was a fellow in the church that said to his pastor, I do the giving for all my family. My wife doesn't have to give, and my children doesn't have to give. I do the giving for all the family. Well, I believe God holds a man responsible for the leadership in the home.
Sure.
But I believe the husband ought to give, the wife ought to give,
sure.
and the children ought to be taught to give. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And so if everybody does what God tells them to do, then you'll be able to advance and do more for missions in the days ahead.
Right.
Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10, did I say 10? I want to put in just, let me just read two or three verses here. If you'd like to stand, you could do that. But I'm going to put in verse number 15, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Would you pray with us? Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you might anoint us with fresh oil. Lord, we're conscious of the fact that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but that our sufficiency is of thee. And I do pray tonight that he, the Holy Spirit, might open our hearts to receive the truth of the word. And I pray that you'd bind Satan and all his adversaries. We plead the blood of Christ tonight for protection. I pray that you might use us for your glory and accomplish your purpose. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen and amen. You may take your seats. We're living in a day, as I said, on ministerial fabrications and spiritual stagnation and moral degeneration. And I think a lot of it's because we've gotten away from preaching the Word of God. It's important that the Word of God be preached. You see, we have too many men behind pulpits that are trying to impress others. As our pastor has already said, we're not here to try to impress you. We're here just as delivery boys to deliver the message of God, and the Holy Ghost takes that message. But there's folk that even stretch, they even make a stretch this way. They act as though they're trying to impress God. I want to say to you, how can you impress a God that knoweth all things? He knoweth all about you. How could you impress God that's seen everything and knows everything? No, you can't impress God, but you can please God. And by the way, if I'm walking by faith, I'm pleasing God. If I'm preaching this book, I'm pleasing God. If I'm giving to get the gospel to others, I am pleasing God. So I want to preach just a little while tonight on the matter of faith. The Bible said four times, the just shall live by faith. You wouldn't be saved apart from faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's God who gives the grace and God who gives the faith. But listen, our faith needs to be increased. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 3, and notice with me Ephesians 3 and verse number 17, the Bible said it this way, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that is by faith. I remember asking Dr. Helby Seitler the question that I asked a lot of men that I had to preach for me. I said, Dr. Seitler, how's a man filled with the Spirit of God? And here's what he said. We were walking out of the auditorium on the morning service, and he said, Brother Joe, if a man wants to be filled with the Spirit of God, and as far as he knows, everything's right between he and God, here's what you need to do. Get on your face before God and ask him to fill you by faith and get up believing it. There's folk who want to sensationalize the filling of the Spirit of God. By the way, that is a command to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not a suggestion. It's a command of God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so I'm reminded of faith. Romans 14:23, whatsoever not of faith is sin. And so we're reminded that he said in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. I say faith is the door by which Jesus enters into the heart of man. I was down in Pickens, South Carolina a few days ago. We was coming out of the motel room headed to the service, and this lady come walking up out of the parking lot, and she said, y'all going to church? And I said, yes, ma'am, we're headed to church now. And she wanted to know where we were going, and the subject of salvation came up, and she said, I've been doubting my relationship with Christ for 29 years. And she said, I've been looking for a feeling.
And by the way, that's one of the tools the devil uses to deceive people. Listen, I'm not saved by feeling. I'm saved by faith. I said to her, it has to be by faith. And she said, I got it settled this morning. I got born again by the grace of God. I'm grateful that he's still able to save to the uttermost, but it's by faith. And so you understand, it's not by feeling. And so it's reminded this, thereby he makes us his own. We're the temple of God, and faith swings upon the hinges of grace, and faith unlocks the door. I say to you, faith opens the door of the heart to Jesus, and also the door of heaven's riches to the believer. Thank God for faith. I'm saying to you, Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, he said, according to your faith be it unto thee. And by the way, when my faith, and you can't increase faith apart from this book. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith opens the door of the heart to Jesus, and also the door of heaven's riches to the believer. And so faith is not only the house key, but it is a key to God's storehouse. Amen. You understand that all God's blessings comes to us through faith. As Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto thee. And so the mark of a blessing is not according to feeling. And it's not according to friends, and it's not according to fame, and it's not according to fortune, but it's according to our faith. Amen. The measure of accomplishment in the Christian life always is by faith. Amen. We walk by faith in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:7. And so I said, most of the problems, listen carefully, most of the problems in our Christian life are caused by the lack of faith. Amen. I'm saying we worry. And by the way, worry is the opposite of faith. We're reminded that worry is like saying, God, I don't think you can handle this one. I'm telling you, God's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen. And so you understand that loneliness is a result of not believing in the presence of God. But the Bible said, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my right. I'm glad for those everlasting arms. Bible said in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, those arms, the arms of God. There's unlimited strength in that arm. There's an ultimate stretch in that arm, but there's an unending stability of that arm. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And when you fall right into the arms of God. And that word underneath means below the bottom. And so we understand this, that faith makes God's presence real to us. And so even when no one else is near, unbelief, however, leaves us isolated in the crowd. But many people are haunted by the ghost of guilt, and because they lack confidence in the full forgiveness of God's grace. I will report to you tonight that I'm glad that he saves and he forgives and he forgets. Amen. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. And it's all by faith in our God. And so faith is our acceptance of God's exception of us. And so disobedience results from the lack of faith. Saul, after his conversion, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yeah. And by the way, if we were doing what God tells us to do, then he is glorified every time. Yeah. When I'm doing what God said for me to do, I'm blessed. Every time. But when I'm doing what God said for me to do, others benefit. Amen. Every time. Oh, Dr. Lakin used to say, when Brother Cup gets filled up to the overflow, then Brother Saucer gets blessed too. Praise God in the Lamb forever. I want to say a little something tonight about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And he said in verse number 6 of Hebrews 11, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is reward of them that diligently seek him. James said, faith without works is dead. And so we're to be showing our faith by our works. You don't work to go to heaven, but if you've been saved, you work because you've been saved. Amen. And so the description of faith, it describes what faith is in the life of the believer. Faith is not positive thinking. And faith is not a feeling of optimism. And faith is not hoping for the best. I'm saying that's not biblical faith. But I'm reminded that faith is a substance of things hoped for. That's what the Bible said. And so substance means solid ground. There's something beneath us that we can stand upon. I say amen about the old past. I say amen about old time religion. Listen, give me the book. Tell me what's wrong. Show me how to get it right. We've got a lot of fellas that years ago, they'd tell us all about how wrong it was, but didn't tell us how to get it right. Amen. It's like folk preaching on hell and making it like they're glad somebody's going there. I'm telling you, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I'm saying to you, and we need to have more preaching on hell today. Don't hear it too much anymore. But the faith is a substance of things hoped for. When we're living by faith, we're not walking on eggshells and jello. I'm saying we're standing upon a solid rock. In this materialistic age, listen, you don't talk about, here somebody said, don't talk to me about faith. Talk to me about real things. Can I say he means that he wants you to talk to him about things that affects his five senses, things that he can see and smell and hear and taste and touch. Are these the only things that's real? Well, Paul said it this way in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Notice with me verse number 18. He said it this way. He said, for we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. He said, the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I believe I'll take God's definition for that. I believe I'll stand right there. I say to you, which is more real, that which is temporary or that which is eternal? I say eternal. Praise God, I have eternal life by faith in the Son of God. And so faith is evidence. Faith is not only substance, but it's evidence of things not seen. Faith is convincing truth that God will keep his word. And so we sing, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Amen. I'm grateful that, as Brother Lurloff would say, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children alone, where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children alone. Amen. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season. And all the day long, we're walking by faith. We got saved by faith. We're to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so I'm saying faith is evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is convincing proof that God will keep his word. It's evidence in the proof of the unseen reality. There can be no evidence without reality. No evidence without reality that gave rise to the evidence. And so it's important that we understand this. If we do, we shall see the difference between real faith and synthetic faith. And by the way, there is a synthetic faith. It's a counterfeit faith that is really no more than positive thinking. And so folks say that it's couched in religious terms. And the promoters of the synthetic faith explain it by saying, God is able to do anything. Well, I believe that. God's able to do anything. They say, therefore, if you have enough faith, he will do anything you want. He'll not do that. He'll do anything you want according to his will. And you understand, he will do anything you want. All you have to do is just name it and claim it. No. You can't claim anything until God names it. And so you understand that sounds good, but it's a little resemblance of biblical faith. So we do not name it and claim it, and we cannot legitimately claim it until God first names it. And I'm saying to you, Paul is saying, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in regions beyond. When your faith, by the way, your faith promise giving will depend upon your faith in God. So what is it? Faith promise giving is this. It's a matter of exercising my faith in God's ability to provide funds to get the gospel to every creature. Exercising my faith. I can't exercise yours. But we're going to be having these services here, and we're going to have some exercise classes this week. And we're praying that when we get through, our faith will be stronger in God. And it'll be exhibited by how we give. Amen. And so, again, I cannot truly believe, folks say this, I cannot believe until a thing is settled. Anything else is but positive thinking or wishful desire. Faith is evidence in my heart that God has spoken to me. God has spoken to me. And Hebrews 11:6, he said, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So our faith is a great. Well, Peter said that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And our faith is, the Lord spoke of little faith. He talked about no faith. He talked about great faith. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Somebody said, that's mighty small. I know it is, but it's all mustard. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say that mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. I'm saying to you, the lack of faith displeases God. We want to please God. Faith is not, faith is the most dynamic force in the world because it releases the hand of omnipotence. It is this. It gives us insight. I'm saying there's three major thoughts in the verse in Hebrews 11:6. The lack of faith displeases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The lack of faith is unbelief. And so we've been through, and I've heard it so often that it becomes a little irritating to me when we talk about it. But the reality, the fact we've been through all this COVID situation, and it's still going on from here to there. Right. And it's by the grace of God that we're still here tonight. Right. Many of my preacher friends have graduated to heaven over the past 2 years. Yes, and I can't even think of missions without thinking about Brother Stennett Ballou. Right. And when he'd say, I want to do what I can while I can, so that when I cannot, I not wish I would have when I could have. Yep. And so that's what I say. I want to do what I can while I can. I just turned 80 in December, and there's folks said, listen, when you going to slow down? When you going to stop? When you going to quit? Spend time with the grandkids. Hey, I'm doing what I want to do, not what I have to do. Why? God's been so good to me. So I've still got some wood to chop. I've still got some peas to pick. I've got some corn to plant. I'm saying I've got plenty to do. I'm grateful for every opportunity to tell folks that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, is the only Savior of men. Amen. And those who are without Christ can be saved, but it'll be by faith. Right. It'll not be by feeling. It'll be by faith. And so the dynamic of faith is that the lack of faith displeases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Lack of faith is unbelief, and that's greatly displeases God. Unbelief is sin. Unbelief is sin. No greater sin. It's apparent sin. its apparent sin of unbelief is the sin out of which all other sins grow. The one sin that keeps a person from heaven is a sin of unbelief. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. But I'm going to tell you, they won't ever believe until they hear. That's what this conference is about. They won't ever believe until they hear. Somebody's got to tell the story. Somebody's got to remind them that they're lost and need a Savior. And Christ is the answer. The sin of belief is so terrible because of what it says about the character of our God. Notice with me 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So unbelief is a moral sin, not an intellectual problem. It starts in the heart, not in the head. It may show up in the head, but that is the only a symptom of what's in the heart. You understand that? Hebrews chapter 3, and notice with me verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12. Let me read this verse. Hebrews 3 and 12, the Bible said this: take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Paul writing, he said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The sin of unbelief. Could I say, the sin that doth so easily beset us, I believe, is a sin of unbelief. He had the whole chapter 11, talking about the matter of faith. Now he said, the sin that does so easily beset us is unbelief. We say, well, God, I'm thankful what you did last year, thankful what you did yesterday, but not sure you're going to do it today. I'll tell you, if he did it then, he can still do it again. So can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Oh, yes, God can. I'm saying, we recognize unbelief reveals a wicked heart. By faith, we give God pleasure. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. So faith pleases God. We should have no greater aim in our life than to please God. We're not trying to impress him, not trying to impress you. Listen, our goal should be to please God. This day, as I look back over my life, has my life pleased God? In what I said and how I acted and how I reacted, did that please God? I'm saying, for if we please God, it really doesn't matter who else we displease. And if we displease God, it really doesn't matter whom we do please. There is no pleasing God without believing God. It's that the reason God demands faith is that faith is the moral response to God's character. It is this: faith gives the honor that is due to his name. And so God honors faith because faith honors God. And so I was in a meeting last year, and going to preach in another meeting in October, I believe, no, November this year. I was down in Mars Hill, North Carolina, with Brother Scott Dodson. I said, Brother Dodson, what was your goal this past year in mission? He said, it was about 50,000. And I said, do you have any aspirations about any certain goal that you're looking for this year? And he said, I really haven't thought about it that much, but he said, I think maybe if we had a $25,000 increase, that would be good. And so when they took the faith promise, he called me and said, I just wanted you to know that we had a faith promise commitment of $104,000 this year.
Amen.
That's faith, I'm telling you. That's not foolishness, that's faith. And by the way, it came in.
Amen.
It's coming in this year too. And so I'm saying, through faith, God gives us treasures, and the rewarder, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our God longs to show himself mighty on behalf of people that will trust him by faith. Right. And so faith is the key to the meeting of our needs, whatever they may be. I don't know what your needs are tonight. If it's salvation, I'm grateful. The Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse 1, there's therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If it has to do with victory, 1 John 5:4, he said, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If it has to do with victory over Satan, we find that in Ephesians 6 and 16. If it has to do with answered prayer, Matthew 11, 24. And so by faith, we give God pleasure, and through faith, God gives us treasures. And so somebody said to Dr. W. Jack Hudson one time, said, Dr. Hudson, is it right to give to get? Dr. Hudson said, well, it is right to give to get if you're planning to give again. Yeah. But if you're giving just to get to keep for yourself, that's not right. Right. But we give, hallelujah. I want to say to you, God's shovel is a whole lot bigger than your shovel. Yeah. You understand that you cannot give God. Right. Amen. Right. And it's a matter of by faith. The development of our faith. How are we going to develop our faith? Well, that's what this meeting is all about. Our faith being increased. How do we develop the kind of faith that pleases him? Saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God. Amen. With the Word of God. Read it. Yep. Study it. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Hide God's Word in your heart. Right. And so the Bible is the book that develops our faith. Your faith will not increase if you don't stay in this book. Right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we must believe the Bible. Love the Bible. Study the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Meditate upon the Bible. Obey the Bible. I'm saying you will find faith welling up in your heart. I remember the days when Dr. Buffington was my pastor. I'd go to him with a problem, and invariably, every time I'd go, Brother Shepherd, he'd say, well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. And he'd open the Bible and give me a Bible answer. It wasn't his opinion or what he read out of a book. It's what God said in that book. And that stabilized me in those days when all my family turned against me, when everybody, listen, wouldn't even talk to me. Listen, there was a God who stood by me. Hallelujah. When my daddy died, and he had $2 million in assets, he gave everything to my two younger brothers, and he handwritten will said, you get nothing. Speaking of me, you get nothing. I said he might have cut me out, but praise God, God cut me in. I'm grateful that I'm a child of the King. Join hands with Jesus Christ. Have more today than I ever had. And I say to God be the glory. Great things he hath done and will do again. Let me say this. We'll do what? Stay in the Word of God. Saturate our life with the Word of God. Repent of all known sin. Yes. Lay aside every weight. Yep. And the sin. You might not have sunk, but you might just be beginning to sink.
Yeah. Right.
Remember that unbelief comes from an evil heart. And if you have difficulty believing God, it may be that you have unconfessed sin that's tripping you up in your spiritual life. Use the faith you already have and run the race that is set before you. Faith is active. It's not just mere belief. But it is belief with legs on it. And I say to you, keep your eyes on Christ, looking unto Jesus. Faith is a byproduct of keeping your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Looking away from all else unto Christ himself. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Take your eyes off of self. Take your eyes off of Satan and circumstances and turn them to the Lord.
Amen.
It speaks also of dependence and trust in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is worthy of my trust. He is the author and the finisher of my faith.
Amen.
And our Lord said,
according to your faith be it unto thee. We used to sing a little song, kids did. Got any mountains you can't tunnel through?
Yeah.
Got any rivers that's uncrossable?
Yeah.
God specializes in things thought impossible.
That's right.
He does the things that others cannot do.
Amen.
I don't know what your mountain might be tonight. I don't know where you are spiritually. But I do know this, that our faith needs to be strengthened, and it'll be demonstrated in the way we live our lives.
Yes.
I want to please Him. I want to do His will, please Him, and walk by faith that others might see Christ
yes.
in me. Thank you.